you'll know that I'm the stranger because I'm the only one with a tie on. I just realized that while I sat there. But that's okay. You'll know me on the subway or wherever. Okay with that. Okay. What a wonderful opportunity to be in such a warm fellowship. And so many of you have encouraged me just by saying you're a visitor. Howdy. And howdy to Dallas. And my goodness, China and Japan and U.S. This is really cosmopolitan. I like that. But we're here to talk about the Lord. And that's what I want to get to so that you can get out eventually and eat whatever you might do or stick around and talk whatever you might do. But let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 2. I sat there and here I am with one of these hard iPad things. I used to be able to flip through the Bible and now I have to go through all of this. But I did leave my leather Bible home and so I have to do this. But that's okay. Has the Word of God in several different translations in it. Chapter 2 of the book of Mark. All right? We'll all be there, but you don't have to turn to it, but you will later, maybe. It's a wonderful story. Now, if you've been attending the Christian Life and Witness course, you know that it's biblically based, but we love to tell stories. And I share some stories that apply to your heart and my heart. And Jesus loved to tell stories. So much of his ministry was storytelling. And so when I get to preach, and I was a pastor for about 15 years, I was a pastor when I was 19 years of age. Yeah, I don't know what they ever learned from a 19-year-old, but I learned a lot. And then I was in full-time evangelism, and then I've been with the Billy Graham Association for about 25 years now. So God's just brought all that he's put together in my life to do what I'm doing now. And I love the Christian Life and Witness course. So you've still got an opportunity. You can come Friday night and next Friday night and get the third class and the fourth class, which is all about discipleship and evangelism. If you want to know how to share your faith more simply, more directly, and with some really big help, please come Friday night and next Friday night. It's not too late. We would love to have you join. And I'm just having a spiritual southern blast with you folks on Friday and now even Sunday. So Mark chapter 2. We are getting ready for this celebration. And Mark's back there. Mark's our director of this whole celebration. And a good friend of me, of course, and my family and his family. And what a privilege you all have to have him in your church. So I know you're going to be involved and are involved. It's an unusual kind of thing at the Budokan. That's where it's going to be. Very historic. And we want to make sure that we really pray for that. It's going to be difficult to get in sometimes because you have to have a ticket. I've been doing this 25 years, and this is the first time I'll have to even have a ticket to get in. And I'll have all kinds of badges with me. But apparently that's the way it's got to work. So you want to make sure that you got a ticket. But also you want to make sure that you don't just have a ticket, that you plan even now to bring a friend with you. Okay? A friend. Let's talk about that today. We have a method that helps all of this preparation. It's called love and action. You see, sometimes we're guilty of just, I love everybody. But we don't do anything with the people that don't know Christ. Well, love and action has some activity. And that's what we want to focus on today in Mark chapter 2. It's a wonderful story. And I'm going to begin reading. I ask them not to read this because I like to read the scripture myself sometimes. All the time. Daily, if you've been in the class. And I want to begin with verse 5. I'll join you in that story later. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, and there was a man that was paralyzed that had been dropped through the roof to Jesus Christ. And here he is, right in front of Jesus Christ, and he says to him this, Son, thy sins be forgiven you. And there were some sitting there, scribes, reasoning in their hearts. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said to them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Your sins be forgiven,' or 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'?" Now, we're going to learn what that really means in a few minutes. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," and he looks at this man, "I say unto you, arise, take up your bed, go your way to your house." Go to your house. "And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they all amazed. They were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they said, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" Now, you've probably already discovered that I have grown up in the south of the United States. I try to cover that up as much as I can, but it slips out. And I live in the mountains now. My wife was born in the mountains. Her family were run out of the mountains when it became a park, national park. And so they have their own ways of saying things, their own kind of lingo, mountain people. And if they were to talk to you, they might say that last part of it, "We never saw it on this fashion," something like this: "Ain't ever seen it like that before." Now, if that's Japanese, I don't know. "Ain't ever seen that ever before." Well, whether you say, "I've never seen it on this fashion," or "I've never seen anything like that before," that ought to be our prayer for the celebration. That when you go there and it's all through after those 3 days, you come back to this church and you're talking with each other, you're eating with each other, you're shaking hands with each other, and you stop for a moment. You said, you remember that celebration last week? "Yeah. Man, I've never seen anything like that before." That's what we ought to be praying. That God does something in your life, in my life, in your friend's life that you've never imagined it. I mean, to see this bigger the event with all that's going to happen and all the excitement that's going to be there and the glory of God descending because of so much prayer, it'll be the most prayed for point on the earth because of all the advertisement type of things that the Billy Graham Association does worldwide. It's going to be the most prayed for place, and therefore something radically huge, wonderful glory is going to happen. I want to be there. I will be, the Lord willing. And I'll see some of you when you're in the counseling area with me. God is sovereign. Some of you know what I'm doing. Secret signal to some of you. If you come tomorrow, come Friday night, I might tell you what that means. All right. But you'll be there with me and we'll be glorifying God. Now, Jesus, the Bible says, came back to Capernaum. Now, if you'll notice in your Bible, and you read the Bible, Jesus loved Capernaum. It was one of his favorite spots, and it was kind of an open place to be able to preach and minister. It was a crossroads. That is, Roman road came through it and went to Jerusalem and went over to the Western cultures. And so there were a lot of people that came through that area. So Jesus had a multicultural experience there also. Now, he had gone, and he was up preaching. He was healing. He was doing things that people recognized that God was at work. And he comes back to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum lies right on the top of the Lake of Galilee. It's a beautiful area. I've been there 3 times. And right now, it's just an archaeological dig, so to speak. And you see these little houses, and you see the synagogue that Jesus preached in. Really, really real. And it's not a very big community. If you were a really strong baseball player, anybody love baseball in Japan? You guys go nuts over baseball. I get excited just to go there. You just keep talking and keep yelling and keep, you know, this is neat. In America, we just kind of yell occasionally. Only if it gets exciting. I went to the a game in Kansas City, and it was the most boring game I've ever seen. The pitcher pitched a complete shutout. Nobody hit except one run, and that was the Kansas City. That was good, but I didn't get excited about that. Anyhow, has nothing to do with it. But if you were a strong pitcher, you could probably take a baseball and throw it all the way across Capernaum. Not a very big place. But it was bigger when Jesus was there. Now, he comes back, and immediately he loves to do what he loves to do, and that's preach. All right? I can understand that. I love to preach. Love to share the Word of God, whether it's privately or with you folks. Just love to talk about the Lord. He loves me so much. And he's done so much for me. And you know what? The exciting thing, he wants to do it for you. He loves you. He really loves you more than you can even imagine. And he wants to do something. He wants to give you eternal life, but life with a capital L, a plus kind of life. Radically adventurous. And that's why I call this evangelism through the roof. That's an adventure. Well, he comes to this little house, and he goes in the house, and he begins to preach. And the Bible says that immediately they began to publish this, or they began to talk about it. They began to gossip it. Now, if you want to make an effective celebration, start talking. The best way ever to advertise is to tell somebody, you've got to go to that. If I don't know much about it, but I know I'm excited about it, and I just have seen other kinds of things like this, and I know God's going to really work in people's heart. Don't miss this event. Jesus will be there, and he will, where 2,000 or 3,000 plus are gathered together, you better believe he'll be there. And he wants to work in our hearts. Well, Jesus was in his house. Pretty soon the house was filled up. Now, they were so excited, I think they were running around the community. Now, you have to realize that I'm old enough to have an imagination. Some of you lost it somewhere. I don't know. No, you didn't. You just hadn't used it, maybe. But the older you get, the more imagination we get. And so let me put this all in a spin of imagination. Can I do that? And immediately they saw Jesus over there in that house, and the house began to get people packed in it, and began to get more full and more full. And the reason it was because they said, Jesus is right over there. And they began to run toward Jesus. They began to run into that house, and they began to walk fast to get there. Now, that's part of the scene. Over here on this other scene, there were four guys. And I think immediately they heard, Jesus is right over there. And I think they began to walk fast, maybe even they began to run so that they could get in the house also. And as I thought about this, I would like to think that I was the one that did this. Wait a minute, guys. We can't go to Jesus. We can't go there. What do you mean, Bob? What do you mean? He's right over there. We're already running. What do you mean? We can't go there. Oh, come on, guys. You know, we can't. Well, Bob, I don't know any reason why we can't. All we have to do is just take a few more steps. We'll get there. It's right over there. Come on, guys. Think with me. We can't do that. Well, why? Come on, we've got a friend. He needs to get to Jesus. He's paralyzed. Oh yeah, we forgot that. Now somehow I think those four friends were uniquely involved with this guy, the paralyzed guy. It may be that they took turns taking water, taking food, going and sitting with him and talking with him. He was a lonely person. He couldn't move. He couldn't do anything except lie on this little worn out thin mat. That's all he could do. I don't know why he was paralyzed. I don't know how long he had been paralyzed. I just know that he was paralyzed. And they knew him really well. I think immediately those three other guys would have turned to, I would hope it would have been me, and they said, you're right. You're right. Let's go back to our friend. Now see, they had learned a lesson. They knew that their friend needed to get to Jesus. And Jesus was over here. And the only way their friend could get to Jesus was for them to take him. And when we do love and action, that's part of the action. You're going to have to do some planning in your life. You're going to have to do some thinking in your life. You're going to have to be like kind of an engineer and structure some things in your life to get your friend to go with you. It may include getting that extra ticket. It may include paying them. Pay the train. Yeah. And they probably would love Starbucks. Yeah. There are plenty of them around now. And so you're going to have to feed them, perhaps. You're going to have to take them, you know. So they went to this man knowing that if they were going to get him to Jesus, they had to have some action. They had to do and they had to plan some things for this all to happen, right? Sure. And so they came to this guy and they began to say, hey, we've got some great news. And this guy probably looks up at him and smiles. He said, wonderful, what's the news? Jesus is just right over there. He's not far from us. And Jesus Christ? Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, and what preaching he's been doing. And he's been healing people. He's been doing some wonderful, miraculous things. And we're going to take you to him. Whoa, wait a minute. What did you say? We're going to take you to him. No, I thought I heard you say that. No, you're not. Now, the first thing you need to know is that your faith of getting your friend to Jesus is going to be challenged. They will give you every excuse in the book and some that are not in the book because they don't particularly want to go hear preaching, but they might want to hear the world's fastest guitar player. They might want to hear a lady who just exudes the love of the Lord and she has no arms and sings like an angel. They might want to hear some of that and they might put up with the preaching. But what they don't know is that faith comes by hearing. And hearing through the word. So when you get them there, God's going to be moving already in their heart, and he just moves strongly more in their heart. And you know, they might say, I want to go forward. Would you go with me? You're my friend. Yes, I'll go. Yes. It is so wonderful when I stand in that counseling area to see that so often. Somebody just holding their arm or their friend or their loved one or their parent or the child, and they're bringing that one to come receive Christ into their life. And you can always tell the Christian because they're just like that, and or they may be crying, and but there's a smile on them, and sometimes they'll just look at me and say, amen. Well, don't get ahead. Because you're going to be challenged and you're going to have those excuses. And I think he said, hey, you go to Jesus, you come back and tell me what he said. Don't take me. It's too embarrassing. Look at me. I'm paralyzed. People will see me and they'll turn away from me because I'm so distorted physically. Why? Don't. Please don't. No. We're going to take you to Jesus. Now, they had a plan A. And that plan A was simply that each of them got on the four sides of that mat, picked that mat up, and began to truck him over to Jesus. And I think the whole time he's saying, don't do this, please don't do this. But finally, maybe he relaxed, I don't know. Now that's plan A, because your faith will be challenged. You know what I've discovered about radical faith? Many of us pray. We know ask, seek, knock. You know that scripture about opening in prayer? We know that, and we start praying for something, and we pray for something, and we pray for something, and it just doesn't seem to happen, and we just finally say, well, I don't guess it's ever, and we just sit on it then. We just kind of give up. And what we didn't know in heaven, it was about ready to happen. Radical faith keeps on, even when the no or the negative is presented. You keep asking. Keep knocking. And so they picked him up, off they went. Now, when they got to this little house, they found, of course, it was packed out with people. Full of people. No room in the house. Now, that didn't frustrate them because they had a plan B. And you may have to have a plan B in your life also. Now, here was their plan. It was kind of unique. Every house, normal house in that area, would have had some steps that go up to the roof. It was a, would have been a flat roof, and it would have been made out of wood and clay that was laid over that and dried so that it was kind of resistant to moisture and things like that. And then they would put some straw or hay on top of that so that it was like a kind of modern coolant for the inside. But they also would go up those stairs and sit on that roof in the cool of the evening. And they could be even cooler because of the winds coming off the Mediterranean Sea, or the Sea of Galilee. And not only that, we haven't changed. They probably were sitting really close to the side of it and say, look at there, look at them going, look at them. Always interested in the other people, you know. So always, what's my neighbor doing? And so they said, B plan. And up the steps they went. Now, I can imagine the paralyzed guy is really getting frustrated now. Fellas, what are you doing? We're taking you to the roof. To the roof? Take me back home. Now, you're going to get to the Budokan, and you may just be, all, it may just be full of people. Ticket. If you don't have a ticket and you can't get in, just go around the place and pray. Make yourself useful to God. Pray. We'll need it, all right? But they had their friend. They had to get him to the friend. So what they did up on the roof. Now watch. When they got to the roof, they had plan C. Now they didn't have to go down to the local store to find rope. They already had the rope. They didn't have to go get something to break the roof. They already had something to break the roof in. They did. This thing happened really fast. And as soon as they got this guy up on the roof, they began, I don't know what it was, whether it was a big rock or maybe some kind of structural piece that they had with a large, heavy piece on it, but they began to break that middle of that roof in. And as soon as they got a hole in it, I think they began to dig and pull out and break that that dry stuff and began to open that hole a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And finally, maybe even their heads popped down so they could see that, you know, see what was going on. Now, that's what's happening up on the roof. Very quickly, let me tell you, let's go downstairs inside the house. Use your imagination. What do you think was happening inside of that house? Yeah. Immediately, here's this hole. And all this debris that's beginning to fall down, the sunlight begins to shaft immediately into that little room, and people begin to scoot back. And I am so amazed at subway system here. You can always get one more person on it. And I'm saying, please, no. Yeah, we give me what do you so. Maybe they were pushing back, like I get pushed occasionally in the subway system, all right? And one more person, and they just keep backing because that hole is getting a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. Now, that's what was going on there. Maybe even somebody said, I can't believe it. I just fixed that roof the other day. Now look at it. What crazy man's tearing my roof up? And here were these four faces. But let me go one step further. What do you think Jesus was doing? Let me ask it another way. This will get your attention. What would cause God to smile in your life? I think the Lord, Jesus Christ, just kind of backed away a little bit. I think he crossed his arms, not in disbelief, but I think I'll just watch this. And the bigger the opening got, I think he was smiling even more. I think there was just beautiful teeth being displayed there with our Lord. And sure enough, then it was big enough, and suddenly here's this man being let down with ropes in front of Jesus. I would like to think when he looked up at them, he said, "That's my boys. That's what's all about. They're doing what I want them to do. They're acting by, oh, what is the word? Faith." Now, what would cause God to smile in your life? For without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. When you operate by faith, yeah, that causes Him to spiritually smile on us even more because we're His children and we're doing what the children ought to do. Wow. And I think Jesus was smiling. But you say, I don't know if that's all. I think that's a lot of imagination. No, it's not. You didn't really see that verse, did you? That verse is so important. Verse 5. When Jesus, look, don't miss this. Mark it, highlight it. It's like a center point in that whole experience. When Jesus saw what? Their faith. Your faith, my faith, little, big, medium. When Jesus sees your faith, He can do things you can't even imagine because it's your faith. Look what He did now. He looks at this paralyzed man and He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He could have said anything else, but I want to tell you that life, that echoes down the corridors of life. When I was 8 years old, I knew God loved me. My grandmother had told me. My mom had told me. There was this really fat lady who played the piano told me. I saw her in Sunday school every week. I don't know how that little stool held her, but it did. And she'd turn around on that little stool and she'd look at me and said, "Bobby, Jesus loves you." And I knew He loved me. But I also knew I had done a thing that was wrong. I'd lied. I'd stolen a kid's sandwich in school. You say, that's not a big sin. But no, it's sin. Breaking God's law. And I needed a Savior. And I remember the preacher on this particular Sunday, I don't know when it was, but I just know it was a Sunday morning because that's the only time my parents took me. And I heard him tell me how much love God had, and that love was poured out in Jesus Christ when Jesus died on the cross. He died for me, my sin, my brokenness. And I just said, "That's who I want." And my preacher said, "All you need to do is ask Him to come into your heart." And I remember, just 8 years old, I said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, forgive me, live in me." My life changed. My life changed forever. Your sins have been forgiven. The greatest thing, he was paralyzed, okay, but the greatest thing Jesus did to him was He forgave his sin. That is the greatest thing that could happen to you today. God loves you so much. God wants to come into your life. God wants to change your life. God wants to give you a new creation. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to come live in your life so that you can have fellowship with Him. And the only way you can do it is to invite Him to come into your life. It's like you open the door to your heart and ask Him to come in. That's not hard. There's no work activity. It's just, "I need you. Come into my life." Now, as an 8 year old, nobody really could see a big change in my life. As a paralyzed man, when his sins were forgiven, there was no visible change that anybody could see in his life. I mean, he was still lying there. I think probably there was something in his heart that said, "Wow, this is unexpected. there's peace even in my paralysis now. Because God wants to give you peace whatever your work is or your life is or whatever you've done. He wants to give you real peace. It's over. You have a new walk. First day of the rest of your life. If you gave your heart to Jesus today. If you invited Him into your life. But immediately there were some people that sat around Jesus and they said, who can forgive sin except God? Jesus perceived they were saying that. And then He says to them, okay, let me ask you something. Jesus loved questions. And He asked them this. He said, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? Now, immediately they answered that in their mind, at least, just like you did. It takes God to do both. You might not see one, you can see the other, but it takes God. So that you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth. Jesus is basically saying, I am the Son of God. I am Messiah. I'm the one you've been looking for all this time. I'm the one that the Scriptures have foretold. I am He. So that you might know that I am He. He looks back down to this paralyzed man. And I think the paralyzed man's eyes locked into Jesus' eyes. One of the things I want to do when I get to heaven is just, I do want to see the nail-scarred hands. They'll be there. But I really want to see the eyes of Jesus. Somehow I think they'll look a lot like my mother's eyes. Those eyes just were so precious to me. But how much more precious are the eyes of Jesus, because He made me and He loves me just like He loves you. And He never turns loose of looking at you and saying, I want you. I want you in my life. Relationship. And so He looked down at this paralyzed man and He said, son, arise. Take up your bed. Walk. Go home. Now, I would love to spend my imagination with you a little bit more, but time just really wouldn't do it. But you can pretty much imagine. Here's this guy paralyzed. He hears the words. Faith comes by hearing through the Word of God. And he says, I don't know. But suddenly, something like snapped. Pop, 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 pop in his spine. Legs that had been bent suddenly began to want to straighten. Not cramp, straighten. Pretty soon he felt like he could even press a little bit upward, and he pressed upward, and it really worked. His chest came off that little mat. And he said, well, this works okay. And he pulled his leg up, and this leg up, and it didn't take too long until he was standing. He had arisen. And but more than that, he remembered Jesus said, faith comes by hearing. And he reached down, got his bed, rolled it up, popped it on his shoulder. Go home. Okay? Off he went. And they were all amazed. Never seen it like that before. Well, let me keep going just a moment. It gets better. He's now forgiven of his sins. God now heals him. Now that's important because let me tell you, if you are physically needing healing, God may do it. God can do it, but God might not do it on this earth. My little boy died with leukemia, cancer, very weak. But when I see him again, watch out, he'll be outrunning me. He will be perfectly perfect in heaven. Because you see, God's not going to leave you paralyzed. God's not going to leave you defeated in some kind of physical thing. He's going to give you a new body, like unto the angels. That's part of your inheritance. Future. He doesn't leave you hurtful. There are no tears in heaven. But let me carry it one step further. So that's a picture of salvation, complete redemption, salvation in heaven. But he also said, and one day I saw that scripture and I had read that so many times and had just read it like we did it, right? And it said, go home. Do you realize that this fellow had not been home in a long time? And you can just picture him now with that little mat on top of his shoulder, maybe going to his little mom's house that's somewhere near where he had been lying. And he said, there would just been a cloth over the door, not a big door maybe. And he said, Mom! Son! Yes! Mom! Can I come in? Is that you, son? What do you mean, come in? Who brought you? Mom, nobody brought me. Are you my son? Mom! And maybe she came out about that time. I don't think she would have said much. She would have just hugged. Son. How? Mom, I'm home. I'm really home. I was in São Paulo, Brazil, when I got to preach to about 1,000 prisoners. Sort of risky, even. I said, what in the world can I ever say that would get their attention? I mean, when they came in, it was like they were mad at me and mad at the world, and they didn't even know me. Mad at each other. There was a little skirmish over here on the side. What can I say? You know what I started out with, the question? I simply said this. Hey, guys, do you remember home? Boom, there was silence. God's not through with us yet. And our home is there in heaven. Now let's warp this thing just one more step. Let's say that this friend of yours that goes to the celebration indeed does receive Christ. You are so excited. He is now in Christ and you are in Christ. And now there is a fellowship like you can't imagine. You never thought it would be that kind of unity and love that could happen. But Jesus makes it all happen almost immediately when that salvation experience comes about, and you have a joy that is beyond any kind of worldly thing of experience that you know about, and your friend dies and goes to heaven. Later you die and go to heaven. And lo and behold, there is your friend standing next to Jesus. And your friend's so excited, he's just kind of bouncing. I don't know if they do that in heaven or not. I think they do. They fly. Maybe, Jesus, look, that's my friend. Jesus, I would not be here with you had not my friend taken me to hear how much you loved me. That's real friendship. That's eternal kind of friendship. That's why I want to urge you to take some A plan, B plan, C plan. Ask your friend. Urge your friend. And let them to go with you. And then let God do what He wants to do as you pray for them. And then maybe someday the two of you can shake hands, or the three or four of you can shake hands in eternity and say, thank you, my friend. Because you know, with 99% of Japan not knowing Jesus Christ, your friend may be the only person, you may be the only person your friend knows who is a Christian. How much do you love your friend? Maybe in heaven, it'll be worth it. Be worth it. Now, the greatest thing that I see here for us is obviously that part of it. But your sins are forgiven. I don't know where you are today and what's in your heart, but I know that almost every time I preach, God has prepared somebody to listen, really, really listen. And it's the first time that they've heard spiritually how much God loves them and that they can have a personal relationship to Jesus Christ by asking. You say, well, how do I ask? That's simple prayer. It's a prayer, maybe it's like, oh God, I know you love me. Forgive my sins. Forgive me. I'm separated from you and I want to know you personally. And I believe you died for me, Jesus. You're God's Son. I invite you to come into my heart today. How simple that can be. And if you pray that prayer with me, and I'll repeat it so that you can, if you want to, or say it in your own words. When you have prayed that prayer on the basis of God's Word, you'll be saved. That is, your sins will be forgiven. Christ will live in your heart. And when you go through that door, you will go into your new life with Christ. It may be that new, I want to know more about it kind of thing. Christian Life and Witness course will help you, brother. But you'll have an urge to live for God now. You don't know where you got. Yeah, you do. The Holy Spirit came to live in you. You now birthed into life. There's something new in you, radically different in you. And that's why there's a new walk. There's a new talk. There's something fresh in you. You don't know all about it, but you want to learn. And now the Word of God is going to lead you into it. And people like all around you are going to say, come on, walk with us. Now you've got a new fellowship. Church fellowship. Believer fellowship. It's worth it. Are you willing to pray and just trust the Word of God? Place your faith that God says, for whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. That's God's Word. Romans 10, 13. If you're willing to take that and say, well, I'm willing to do this. I want to pray that. Whether you're a teenager, whether you're an old person like me, or somewhere in between, or from whatever country, it doesn't matter. Jesus is multicultural and wants to come into anybody's heart. For God so loved you and me. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and recognize that you're speaking to all of us about the need of bringing our friend to hear the Word of God in the celebration, or bringing our friend to hear the Word of God right here into this church, this very building. We can do that also. And we'll see the power that you want to give to that person, that newness of life. But Father, we pray for one or others maybe. One, they've never prayed to ask you to come into their heart to have a personal relationship with you. Or maybe there's some here that they just don't know if they're saved. They don't know if they have eternal life, but they would love to know that. Well, Father, I know that they can pray that prayer based on the Word of God today, and they will know you beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're in their life. Now, I'm going to pray that simple prayer. And you can pray that prayer for assurance, or you may pray that prayer to invite Jesus Christ into your life. It's a very simple prayer. Pray with me, pray in your own words, but pray to God with a sincere heart. Here we go. Oh God, I know that I've broken your laws, your commandments. I'm separated from you because of sin in my life. But I know you sent your Son Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I turn by faith to Jesus Christ. Dear Jesus, with all of my heart, with all that I am, I ask you to come live in my life today, right now. By faith, I thank you for coming into my life right now. Now, if you pray that prayer while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer and sincerely prayed it in your heart with me and believe by faith that Jesus Christ just came into your life and your sins have been forgiven, if you would express by raising your hand so that I can just celebrate with you for just a moment, not embarrass you, not call you out, but you'll say, yes, I prayed with you. I really meant that. I can rejoice with you for just a moment and pray for you. Would you do that? If you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, just slip your hand up where I can see it for just a moment. God bless you. And yes, God bless you. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Father, thank you for what the work that you're doing in some hearts. It's a change of life, a change of attitude, a change of heart. And I pray that as they realize what's going on in their heart, that they'll seek out fellowship with a believer and help from a believer and tell someone, I just asked Jesus to come into my heart. For the Bible tells us, your word tells us that we believe in our heart, but we confess with our mouth. We tell somebody with our mouth. And so that's important. And we give you thanks, we give you praise and honor and glory for this today, your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.